Hey, hey, welcome to another episode of the Tattoo Sisterhood Revolution virtual interview series. I'm your host, Shelley Dax, and our guest speaker today is international tattoo artist, Elisheba Mrozek. But before we start our talk with Elisheba, for those who are just joining us today for the first time, this is intended to be a safe space for folks of diversity to talk about their journey to becoming successful in the art of tattooing. I, along with this unique panel of artists and entrepreneurs, hope to give support and encouragement to those of you who are just starting out on your journey, or maybe you've just been in a couple of years and you need to up level. So we'll be sending out an email every morning announcing the interviews of the day, and that'll also talk about the free gifts that our artists are giving away. And if you don't find the email, just please check your junk, promo, or spam folder. Now I'm going to tell you a little bit about our guest. Elisheba Israel Mrozek is a fine artist and international award-winning tattooist. In 2011, Elisheba became the first licensed black tattoo artist in Middle Tennessee and opened One Drop Ink Tattoo Parlor and Gallery in Nashville, Tennessee, with the aim of providing ink for all. She has shown fine art at the Frist Art Museum and Fisk University's Carl Van Vechten Gallery, among others. Elisheba is an active member of the community, sponsoring charitable events, teaching free art classes, supporting schools and other community building endeavors to support and grow the careers of artists of color and young artists in underserved communities. Elisheba is now a part of an artistic team with her husband, Aaron, Exodus, with an aim of tackling issues of race, the American identity, love and life, and sparking conversations within ourselves to be better humans. She loves nothing more than to travel with her husband and two kids, and in her words, do six sweet tatties of dope black chicks. Welcome, Elisheba. Tell us about how you started as an artist.
I had always been an artist, and I saw a piece of art online from an artist named Dimitri Samohin, and it looked like a painting, and you couldn't tell it wasn't, you know? And so that's what pulled me into the tattoo industry, to start researching like exactly what was going on, because everybody around me, you know, had baby daddy names and, you know, all the basic kind of hoodie tats that people get. And, you know, those Black Panthers there from 1994. but, you know, and those didn't interest me. So when I saw like that kind of high level artistry where people were taking tattoos, I was hooked. And I immediately jumped into starting to try to find an apprenticeship.
Oh, wow. Cool. So what did you do to actually search around and figure this out? Like, what do I do now that I'm interested and I want to do this?
I Googled like how to become a tutu artist. You know, I literally Googled it. I was like, where are these people? Number one. And I started looking around town at the shops, because like I said, I hadn't been paying any attention. Mm-hmm. And most of them weren't doing the kind of work that I was interested in, which was that like realistic, but painterly, but whatever. Mm-hmm. So that the other shops, but were the pathway to be able to learn how to do that type of tattooing that I found out via Google. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So all I have to do is get an apprenticeship. And I was already had like a bachelor's of fine arts. Like I was already a freelance artist, almost completely full time. So I was like, I'll just bring my portfolio with me, talk about how much it costs and sign up, you know?
Right. Uh-huh.
And little did I know what I was walking into.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I had zero idea. So I went all around the city of Nashville in the outskirts. Okay. And I was 26 and I had, my daughter was like, what, 4 or 5 mm-hmm. or something. And she, you know, she had me so that I had to work and have a full-time job. So I was going to still do the apprenticeship and work full-time and have my kid. But people wouldn't even give me that opportunity. I walked into so many shops and nobody would even talk to me. Like on a rude level. Like I would walk in and they would look at me and ignore me, or they would, you know, be really rude and be like, what do you want? And I'm like, well, maybe I was here to spend money, you know?
Yeah, like, maybe I wanted
that too. And the one thing I really noticed was the trend was just so white. And that there, I didn't see a single person of color in any shop. And it was about, I don't know, 30-ish shops at the time.
Dang.
In Nashville. And no, there was not one. And I was just like, okay. So I'm catching this trend here. And yeah, so I just kept getting turned away. And I finally went to this one shop that I didn't even know about. And it turns out it was a Christian tattoo shop. Yes, it's a great gimmick for the South, by the way. Okay. They eat that a lot. But the shop was owned by guy who used to be in prison, and he was a reformed Christian or whatever now, and God told him to open his tattoo shop. Mm-hmm. So I went in expecting, okay, well, maybe they'll be nicer, right? Wrong. So
no.
Yeah. The people there were not cool. But the owner's wife came down to talk to me because she saw me wandering around trying to talk to people with a portfolio in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked to me and she liked my work. She wasn't even a tattoo artist, mm-hmm. but she just told her husband, who was the owner, to sit down and talk with me at least. And he did. And that's how I was able to start an apprenticeship. Unfortunately, other things happened, which I have to write in a tell-all one day.
Yeah.
but needless to say, it lasted. Let's see. I started January 2011. And I ended beginning of March 2011.
Oh,
so
shoot.
Unfortunately, it did not last because uh-huh. certain people had nefarious motivations of whatever reason. I don't speculate, but they did not like me. So I had to leave there and I went back to the other shops in town. Hey, I've started my apprenticeship. I've got my paperwork from the state. I'm doing everything correctly. Will you talk to me now? And people still did not want to talk to me.
Dang, you were persistent too, my goodness.
I was. The best part was, like, I came in with a portfolio, an actual, like, portfolio in my hand. And I even had made little, like, CDs or little DVDs with, like, my resume and pictures on it. Because I was like, it's like a job interview, right?
Yeah, so, you would think.
I will say, one shop, I don't know if I can name them. They were cool. They were nice enough to at least be like, well, we're just not taking apprentices right now. And,
yeah.
And they took the actual, you know, disc with my stuff on it from me. So that shop was cool. But otherwise, like, nobody would say anything to me. And so I left that shop and I couldn't get another apprenticeship. So I looked up the rules for the state of Tennessee, which is you have to be licensed and you have to have apprenticed under someone who's been licensed for so many years.
Uh-huh.
So I found a lady who had been licensed for like 10 years, but she was not working in a shop at the time. She was just working a regular job, old mm-hmm. biker tattoo chick. And I found her on Craigslist and I said, will you help me get my license? And she was like, yeah, I just want to work in your shop. So I took my tax refund of $3,000. I found a little one room hole in the wall in the hood. And they didn't check my credit. And I paid the rent and got the stuff and opened up One Drop Ink.
Holy moly, that is a crazy story.
In wow. May 2011. So I started tattooing in January Sheesh. 2011. And I opened the shop May 2011. With my the gosh. Licensed lady as my master.
Right. And so she yeah. did she actually ever come in and like yes, supervise yes. you? Oh, she did. Okay.
Yes. No. She actually wanted to work again. Uh-huh. She just had been working a regular job for whatever reason for a while. And so she came back and she worked for me for about 3 years.
Oh, cool.
And she got me my license and showed me what she knew and
uh-huh.
sent me off into the wild world to learn the advanced stuff that I wanted to, you know, kind of get to. And yeah. That's how One Drop Ink was born.
Oh, I love that story. Wow. And that is incredible. So then tell me, how do you feel the bias in the industry against, you know, against you, against women, against Black people? What was the deal that, or is it just our industry? What do you think? It's
definitely not just this industry. It is a thing that's been going on for a long time. And it might be an uncomfortable subject for, you know, some people, whatever, but Black women are super hated on. It's just, it's really weird as a Black woman that I have experienced these things. Mm-hmm. And the tattooing kind of makes it more prevalent, I think, or more noticeable, because there aren't any Black, you know, there are like 10 of us. Mm-hmm. And when you go to a convention, unless it's in a super urban city, you're going to have, I'm usually like one of two Black people in the entire convention.
Got it. Wow.
So, you know, when you're in bigger cities or more dense populated areas with Black people, and of course you'll have some Black artists, but when you're spread out in a worldwide sense, I mean, anywhere in the world, there should be the amount of Black people in the world versus the amount of white people in the world. Statistically, there should be there more should brown be more. People doing it, just statistically, numbers wise, you know? So that just kind of shows that the gatekeeping and the kind of biases that are passed down in the apprenticeship, you know, system are kind of prevalent, you know, being prevalent. And it's just very noticeable. I get the stares and the looks every time I go to a tattoo thing. And the one thing that I love is when people don't realize that I do the work and they're about to pay to get it done. And this has happened twice.
Yeah.
Once was in Greece and once was in New York. And the person didn't know I had did this tattoo, and I was away from the booth, and my booth babe, Sula White Girl, she was talking to this lady, she's like, I want this tattoo. I love this work. I want this, this, and this. So she prices it and everything for her. She's like, she'll be back in just a moment. And so while she's looking through the portfolio, she's like, yeah, she was on that TV show, and there's her picture on the front cover. And so the lady flipped the picture to the front cover, and as soon as she saw my face, she bounced. Like, she had her cash in hand to pay.
Oh, what?
As soon as she saw my picture, she dipped. So
that stinks, man.
You know, goodness. But things like that I just kind of, I can see and I experience it, where somebody else who's looking from the outside would not. And because there's nobody in there kind of speaking out and saying it, nobody knows. And people want to say, you know, this is tattoos, man. We're the most free there is. You know, we are the rebels, right?
Right, so, yeah.
And when the rebels form again another system that creates another set of rebels, you know, it's just kind of a repeating kind of process.
It is kind of bizarre to think of it in terms of the fact that, yeah, mostly people get tattoos because they want to be different and they want to stand out and they want to, you know, be a rebel or whatever. Yes. And then I'm glad that you're talking about this, because obviously it needs to be talked about. It needs to be something that people are more aware of, for sure. And I mean, I guess the thing is, we can just hope and pray that in the next 10 to, you know, 15 years, that there will be just a sea of beautiful color everywhere, instead of it being mostly white shop owners, right?
You know, and it's really just, once people get away from their stigmas around dark skin and how to work with it, and that stops getting kind of passed down, then I don't think it'll be an issue, especially for us younger kind of generational people, to be more accepting of all skin tones and wanting to be innovative with skin tones, you know, and not exactly do the exact same thing. Because I also think that the whole apprenticeship system makes it seem like this is the only way you can work thing, you know, like you can't deviate from this or we will crucify you in this tattoo world, you know?
You know, yeah. No, I'm very familiar with that. And,
nothing, there's no room for innovation if you're making people only kind of stick to this one thing. So it kind of stifles artists into these recyclable things and drawing away like the uniqueness from tattooing in a way. that's something completely different.
No, that's still a really important thing to talk about too, for sure. And there are so many of the women that I've talked to are doing such unusual, different, awesome styles that, you know, aren't just traditional tattooing or Sailor Jerry style or, you know, American traditional or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there is definitely, and I've talked to a couple of people about this, there is sort of like the thinking that you have to jump through all these hoops when you're doing an apprenticeship or even a school before you can develop your own style. But the truth is, the people that I've worked with, I was just telling someone this yesterday, they are so talented and they have their own people that are like supporting them and following them. And I guess social media has helped a ton. Mm-hmm. That they want, that they don't necessarily have to do a bunch of stuff that's expected or whatever. They can get out and they have people following their own style and wanting things that are different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are so many artists out there with so many beautiful, diverse styles.
Yes.
It's nice to have that, being more aware, you know. But yes, talk more about, if you don't mind, talking about tattooing on different skin tones, like if you have some ideas or tips and tricks for people too.
Well, you know, it's really all about understanding how skin works, because a lot of people, you know, we understand that we put the ink into this part of the skin and that it is really bright at first because it's fresh and on top, but then that skin peels off and the fresh, you know, new layer of skin heals over top of it. So, you know, we're just looking through a transparency, and people have to, like looking at like painting and stuff, how to work with transparency and work with like watercolor. So watercoloring can kind of give you an idea. If you got like a sepia tone paper and you did watercolors on it, that can help kind of give you ideas of how color will change in the skin. So you can select those ones that really are going to work for that particular skin tone. And because brown skin come in so many shades, you know, the orange tinted or the green tinted or the blue tinted, like you'll have to switch your color selection up much more than you would on a white person. You know, this pink might work on this orange based mocha, but on this, you know, blue based taupe, it's not gonna look the same. Mm-hmm. So people just have to rethink color theory.
And how would you recommend practicing that, just with like, I mean, I know I was just looking the other day, you know how there's tattoo fake skin, right?
Yes, yes. And they're all white too.
Right, they're all white. I was just noticing the other day. I was like, how do you practice? This is stupid. There is actually one company, there's one company called Real Skin, R-E-E-L Skin, that's in the UK. Mm-hmm. And they have different colors. They do have different skin tones, which is cool.
I was actually thinking about it, yeah.
Yeah, I can't order it for some reason in the United States, but... yeah, that stinks. Somebody over here should make some fake
skin. Well, I was literally thinking about doing that back when they first came out. I was like, man, all of these are white. I can't practice.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
So, I mean, it really like innovation from the producers and the production department.
Yeah.
You know, they're staying with the formula and they're not thinking outside of the box.
Yeah.
You know, I've tried... to, you know, think about ways to mix or do things that, because I know how my skin works. I know what works good on me. And I'm not saying that I'm the number one skin choice of all Black people or something, but just knowing the characteristics of brown skin, my daughter's, my mom's, et cetera.
Sure.
And how products work with it would help, you know, create products that is for our skin. Like I'm, right now I've been working on for some years a aftercare that's specifically tailored to skins with more melanin, because it's just, they usually have different moisture needs and stuff like that.
Huh,
and different types of butters and things work really well on a lot of our skin. And this is typically like Black American number one. Like, so there's this whole even bigger, you know, divvying up within that Black community. So Black Americans have a different kind of makeup genetically than Black, you know, Europeans and Black, you know, South Americans. So even though they all came from Africa, once they mixed with different cultures around them, their characteristics are all different. So Black Americans being mixed with mostly kind of a Irish, English, you know, mix and French, we kind of have like a need for like olives and, you know, other kind of different oils in our skin. So it's all kind of weird. And I think about this stuff because I'm a weirdo, but I also would love to be covered in color tattoos. So yeah. I think about this a lot so that I can try to improve, you know, how it looks on our body and how it looks on our skin.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you do a lot of color though on other people? Have you had a chance to kind of experiment with that to see how it works?
Oh yeah. I do color tests on everybody. I've been doing color tests for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And when somebody comes in for a consult, if we're questioning the type of color scheme they're wanting, I'll just find an inconspicuous area, throw in some different tones of inks, whites and stuff, layers of a couple colors and some little cute little hearts or something. Yeah. And we'll let that heal up and we'll reconvene, take a look, see how those colors, you know, heal, and then make decisions on the color palette that's going to work best.
I love that. So I hope that it would be cool if you were tracking some of this so you were maybe could write about it or.
Yes, know, actually, I have a lot of pictures of like some color tests cool. and then some healed. And then also just, I try to get healed pictures as much as possible on all my people, but definitely brown skin, just so people can see how it heals over time.
Yeah. Nice. I love that you're raising the awareness for that. That's good. That's, I think I was telling you before, like I live in Oregon and it is a mostly yeah. white state, but so I don't get a chance to tattoo as much darker skin as I would like. Mostly for me, it's probably Latinx people. Yeah. But still, even with that, there's a lot to learn about color and everything mm-hmm. too. And practicing is good. If your clients are willing to let you, that's awesome, right?
Oh, there is never a shortage of people who want to ask if you want to practice something.
Right.
So if I put a post out talking about I want to practice something, I'd be forever.
Yeah, so, inundated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I tell you what, the best way to gain clients who pay you so much money is to be like, hey, I'm trying some new things out on you. You want to gain new clientele? Go talk to that Black community over there. They want good artists. They're looking mm-hmm. for great artists. And they want people who will show their work on their profiles and on their skin. Because so many
do you think people don't do that? Like, do you think there's a thing where people won't show dark skin?
Oh, no. I mean, only recently have I seen people start posting. So I had made a video a couple months ago.
Uh-huh.
Only in the last couple months have people been really posting, well, at least in my timeline, some clients with darker skin. Before mm-hmm. that, they were never dark. And when you Google tattoo designs, unless you Google something ghetto, you won't get dark skinned people popping up. You know what I mean? Like you look up praying hands, you'll get plenty of dark skinned people. You know, you pull up, you know, a certain kind of flower tattoo, you won't find a single Black person on it.
Huh. So, wow. You know, I didn't even notice that. My gosh.
If you go to some of these stock photo sites and you type in the word hip hop,
mm-hmm.
Black people don't even show up in the search engine under hip hop anymore, dude.
What?
I have screenshots. I had went to this one and I was just looking up different little stuff they had. I typed in hip hop and for four pages, there was no Black people.
Oh, how in the world did that happen? Jeez. Oh my goodness. Well, no, I'm glad you're bringing this to people's awareness. You know, let's get our Instagram accounts full of pictures. I mean, of diverse skin types. That would be great if, you know,
yeah. obviously. I mean, it's harder to take a picture too. So yeah. I get that. But there's ways around that. You
yeah,
know,
I was going to say.
Dampen that swell glare that comes off of our
right,
skin.
Right.
That just
yeah.
kind of blinds the fuck out of you. You know, we glow, okay? Black people kind of
right.
open,
you
know?
Sparkle. It's good.
It sparkles, so that light hit, and it's like bling. So, you know, just, and there's all kind of little tips and tricks that we'd have to do a whole DVD on, which I'm working on, y'all.
Oh, nice. Good, good. No, that's good to know you are.
How to do the photos, how to do the different kind of techniques to try to get the best possible, you know, results for long term.
Yeah.
Because so many people just pump stuff in it. And then when it heals, it's just, you know, it's not that same thing. Like, and it's not drastically near what it was, because, and they could have avoided it just by changing certain things.
Uh-huh.
That dullness, you know, that kind of settles in when you're brown and you have a tattoo under the skin, even though it was all these different colors. Like now, you know, they're all kind of dull because you didn't pick the right value of that color.
Absolutely.
Each other and stuff like that. So.
Wow. Like, it's really interesting. I mean, when you think about it from the perspective that you're working with it, it would almost be helpful to get toned paper, you know, like the toned paper you can buy and see if you can find some in all kinds of different
all the
values. Yeah. And practice on that with your designs and your colors and everything before.
Yeah. And I mean, like you can watercolor paint over them, you know, with a semi-opaque watercolor paint, just to see what a guesstimate on watercolor, what it would look like. And then in your tablets, just make the bottom layer or a transparent top layer the skin tone. That way you can
see
how it would heal, you know?
You're talking about like on an iPad or something.
On the iPad and stuff. Like you throw a top layer at 20% with browns and change it, and you put your design underneath that and another 100% brown underneath that to get just kind of a layer of how it's going to mute when it heals, when it's back over the top.
Oh man, that's so smart. I love that idea. Well, I'm looking forward to you putting together a DVD or a book or whatever you're going to do this so I can learn a lot more too.
Yes, I'm going to try to get it done hopefully here soon.
Well, you were talking also for a moment, you touched on making money. And I know that you said before that you feel like there's plenty of money for everyone to be abundant in this industry. So you want to talk about that a little?
Oh my God. Yes. So look, y'all, there is so much money out here in this world. I just need to put this here for scale. Okay.
Okay.
Because people don't understand how much money is really out here. People throw out numbers like billions and trillions and whatever. But when you think about how many actual dollar bills that is, and how much of it is spent and sold and every single day. Like those numbers on like the NASDAQ and stuff, they're like 147. They mean 1,000,000,047.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I think that number gets shrunk. And when things like recession and depression get thrown around, we as regular people who are not rich start thinking, oh no, the money's drying up for me. But the people up at the top are still getting paid. Like Apple became a $2 trillion company during a pandemic. So like there is just so much money out here that every single person can have in America, especially, and especially in the tattoo industry. There's over 300 million Americans and at least 20 to 30% of them are getting tattooed. I don't think there are like 2 million good tattoo artists in America, you know? So if you even just calculate out of that, you have money. Now, especially if you're in a metro area, it's just zero reason to like fight amongst each other, like in the industry, and to be all super gatekeepy without actually like talking to people and maybe finding somebody that's going to make you money. You know, if you're a shop owner, that's going to be reliable. And that's going to invent the next awesome tattoo thing because you don't have to worry about training your competition and stuff. And like, if all the shops could just be freaking cool and come together, then you literally can have an entire city going by your rules if everybody is communicating. So the minimum for the entire city is now this much. So price shopping is not going to help you.
Got it.
You know,
got
it. You're going to go to the artist you really want to get, and you're going to pay the price that they're saying. Because, you know, if you go down here, you're going to pay the same thing. So, and if you don't want to get anything, then whatever, you know, go get messed up at the scratcher, and then, you know, you come back later for the cover up.
It's
like when you, people want stuff done, they want it done right. And you don't see them arguing over prices for these big corporations. Nobody goes to Walmart and like, you know, I don't like the price of that TV. I want it for this price. So they shop around, but it's not like when you're going to get a custom piece from a person. So there's no reason why we can't all come together to literally have all of us be elevated.
I love that idea. And that's what we're here talking about is definitely, yeah, you know, collaboration and networking with each other. I've often thought that it, over my time in tattooing, which is a little over 14 years, I've often thought, gee, there are so many other things like painting classes and photography classes and places, mm-hmm, where people come together and they're happy to support each other and they have, mm-hmm, newsletters and all of this. Mm-hmm. And yet our industry is a little bit more, I don't know, like competitive and, yeah, like fearful, like you're saying. And I think obviously it's got to boil down a lot to just the fear of not making enough money. And people, yeah, will say, oh, the market's saturated with too many artists, or, you know, whatever. But no, my thought is that anyone can be in this industry if they're dedicated and determined enough to, yeah, do it, and they're willing to build a clientele.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's the thing is, if somebody wants your art, they're going to come to you. And if you're doing a good job and you're giving them a good experience, and that's one thing that a lot of artists, we kind of just crawl into ourselves, or we're kind of standoffish, or we don't want to like engage with people. Mm-hmm. People want somebody that could be their friend, also giving them this badass ink, man. They love, yes, it when you're just nice and welcoming and be like, what's up, y'all? Come on in. We're here to help you. I mean, we forget sometimes that we're a service industry and we are providing a service and a luxury service at that. I mean, we are not needed, because so we need to like literally keep this wave going so that we, you're, can, right, make money creating art and like stabbing people in their skin for life. And they just coming to us and giving us thousands of dollars. Like, why wouldn't you be nice to these people? You know, like they, yeah, they, yes, they are sometimes annoying and they get on your nerves sometimes, but that's with any job. There's zero, sure, job you're ever going to work where every day you're going to have a perfect client and customer. Right. But you will have those perfect clients and customers, and they will give you all their money. They'll tell all their friends, and they will end up being your friend, you know, like, and even if that's not, you know, what you want to do with your clients or whatever, it's still building a relationship so that now you always have a referral in pocket. So therefore you will not be broke.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that you came to such a different idea, or, you know, versus the classic competitive thinking that most people have in the industry? Well, not most people, it's changing, but, you know, a lot,
right,
of people.
Right. Well, I mean, Nashville's kind of clicky as far as like the tattoo shop thing. Uh-huh. But, you know, I came to that because I came into it different. I didn't have any loyalties to anybody.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody ever wanted to kind of like, you know, help me or be cool or reach out. And, you know, they wouldn't let me into the convention and all kind of stuff. So like, I'm just like, I'm getting money. Anybody that wants to come to me will come to me. I'm not trying to chase them away from you. If I don't want to do that particular type of tattoo, and I know you do it, yeah, I'll send them to you. You can, yeah, have it. I mean, I don't like doing lettering. I have some lettering people that I'm like, look, you need to talk to him.
Exactly.
And you know, these are the people that will do exactly what you want, because I can't do it, or I don't want to do it, you know? And there's enough business to go around, and we will all stay booked. Like, unless you're in like a really small town, which is definitely different. But I'm talking kind of in a place where there are tourists, like Nashville has so many tourists. Like, we get slammed with emails. I need tattoo artists. Who wants to come to Nashville to work in my shop? Like, if you're working in
a place. Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, we're hiring. I love girl tattooers. So we literally, like, it is just too much. And even if I tattooed 7 days a week, 365, I could not handle the amount of people that will want to be tattooed. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just stupid little tattoos. Now, I'm not even talking big, awesome, fun things. I'm talking about street shop,
right,
dip and rip stuff. Like, it will never end. It will never end unless...
No, it'll never end. That's true.
You know, so it's literally, if you're doing a good job, being nice to people and giving them a good experience, that is what brings them back. Because I know, like, people come to the shop all the time, be like, man, y'all are really nice. Why? Nobody, they're rude. They wait all this time. They weren't prompt. Everybody was late. They stopped and smoked 35 times. Like, you know.
Yeah, I've heard that too. My goodness.
You know, or you know, their prices seem out of whack, you know. And another thing artists have to stop doing, like, is just saying no if you don't want to do something instead of trying to charge an exorbitant price.
Right.
to get it, because then you walk around and people are like, you pay what for that? You know, and it doesn't look good. And plus, like, you just kind of wasting your time doing something you really want to do. You don't get your passion into it and you're all into it. So you're going to not do the best work, you know? And then that just, I feel like it's silly. Like, if we just all golden rule each other, client and a tattooer alike, then this would be a chiller, easier place. Like, doing tats till my wrists fall off, you know, and just having fun doing it and not being stressed. I don't want to be stressed at work. This is tattooing.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
It's just, I feel like extra stress when this entire world is already a cluster.
Yeah, right now, especially, my goodness. Well, have you been able to convince other female shop owners in your area to, you know, like gather and hang, or, you know, like be supportive?
Well, there's a couple that I have met and talked to, but in Nashville it's a little different, and I'm still going to have to get out there and try to talk to more people again, you know. Yeah. I mean, it was a whole thing for a while, so.
Oh, I'm sure with the beginning of how you started, it's got to be difficult for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I mean, even around my area where I live, there's still, it's mostly male shop owners too, for sure. There's definitely more women owners now, which is cool, but still mostly men in almost all the shops in Oregon. Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm hoping, like, you know, we can get more and more women out there and more women to be able to, like, be entrepreneurs, embrace that boss babe part of themselves, right?
Yeah. And I mean, even if, you know, something happens and tattooing changes drastically and we can't gather in groups anymore forever or something, tattooing will still be able to go on with individual artist owners, you know, kind of like singer-songwriters where... Yeah. Everybody's, and then if we have that network, we can just continuously refer people. So that way we're doing what we want. We're getting paid what we want. And we're doing things how we want without having a less incidence of crappy clients.
Yes. I really like your ideas of collaboration. So tell me, changing gears slightly, what's the main thing that you feel like propelled your tattoo skills forward the most?
Going to seminars and painting.
Ooh.
And taking like painting classes. Like, I have a bachelor's in fine arts, but it was in computer arts because my mom said painting wasn't going to pay no bills. So I did computer arts, and I kind of fell off painting all the time when I was in college because I was doing the computer stuff. And so just when I had to tattoo and started drawing every single day, all the time, I would look at, and I'm a really bad critique of myself. I critique myself so much that I look back and I'd be like, I should be doing this by now. And I'm looking at this person's art and I'm like, how are they doing this thing? And because I was kind of isolated over here in the city, without like any kind of like guides.
Nobody's supporting.
That,
yeah.
Right. You know, that advanced stuff that I was trying to learn, you know, I really just would like watch people tattoo videos, try to go to conventions and watch them tattoo and just stand there and look like an idiot. And I mean, for a couple of hours, just looking at them and trying to take seminars and putting every kind of penny that I got at the shop back into trying to learn more. And then when I went to some convention, I heard somebody talking about how they were taking these painting classes and stuff. And so that's when I was like, maybe I need to look back at my basics and my fine art and, you know, how I'm doing this, that, and the other, because we kind of get into this monotonous thing because it's a job, you know, we're not necessarily drawing everything from scratch, proportional and classical methods, you know, because we're doing cartoons or an anchor or these words or whatever. And it's not all just realism, but how much painting classically and realistically can help improve any aspect of your tattooing is really like a thing, because it'll teach you all the color theory you want to know, all the value you want to know. It'll teach you about, you know, proportional things and layout, especially and making like your composition awesome. And it'll teach you more about the body that you're, you know, tattooing on, you know, musculature and how that works. Because, I mean, those things are lofty ideas from classical artists and not just peel and stick the tat, you know?
Right. So suitcase stickers, that's what I was calling.
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah. Wow.
The art is definitely like one of the biggest things. Like I took a class back before I did my first kind of black and gray portraits. And it was like a 5-day intensive painting course from this Russian who was a famous portrait painter. Mm-hmm. And he was born in the USSR and Soviet Russia. And you know, taking his classes 5 days. But he was like hardcore, you know, he was like, no, I don't like, take it off. You're not doing it correctly. You know, he will tell you and then correct you and very bluntly. And, you know, a lot of people here, you know, we kind of be like, okay, you're doing good. Keep going. You know, instead of being like, no, this is what you need to do in this kind of very like formalized, direct way.
Yeah.
And so I had been working on this piece in the class and we had to paint a live model who was just sitting there from scratch with no pencil drawing, mm-hmm. straight with color. And I was like, okay. So I put this stuff on and he came up to my canvas. He was like, this is not right. And he took the rag and he wiped it off.
No!
And I was like, oh, you know, and kind of that moment, I was like, okay, I need to pay attention, you know?
So well, it's really there. Nice.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's really nice nowadays that there actually are tons of classes online too, that teach painting and watercolor and, you know, so many different things about shading and values, all the important things. What you were saying about your compositions and fitting them to body parts and the flow of the body, that's all wonderful. There's actually quite a bit out there now that people can see. So that's cool. What else, like, as far as your technical skills or anything about equipment or ink or needles or any of that?
That's all like seminars. Like every time I can, I try to go to a seminar. When I go mm-hmm. to a convention, I usually am working, so I'll try to go to a convention where I don't work to do some seminars. And I love them. And one of my favorite ones was over in Europe. I did in Italy. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those artists over there are just insane. I don't know what they're doing, what they're eating.
It's magic.
It's magic. But just kind of watching them and how they do things differently there too, getting outside of my box. And I mean, that's an expensive thing, but if you get your name out and you can actually work on these trips, it'll allow you to be able to learn and explore so much more and just, you know, meet other artists. Cause especially me being kind of isolated over there and here in Nashville, you know, getting outside of it, I didn't have the same issues because people would just be introduced to me, you know?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, I was able to make some friends and I got people who I can go visit now and,
nice.
And stuff. And so that's really awesome. But being in that community and actually everybody collaborating and nurturing each other for the most part, there's obviously that everywhere. But, you know, made me just think about how we all need to just literally have like a union, like almost. The problem is just that people don't want to be told what to do in this industry. They want to always be like, but I know the best and my way is the right. And it's kind of like religion, you know, like there's a million different church denominations, but they all supposed to be Christians. So, but it's just like those kind of things. I am just a person that I am continuously optimistic that everybody should be able to work together within reason.
I love that. What a great attitude you have.
You really have to not want to, because it's really kind of a purposeful thing. Now, if people have done things bad to you and stuff, that's one thing. But I mean, acting that way just toward a general, you know, people in general or toward each other because of preconceived notions that should have changed as tattooing has changed.
Yeah.
You know, tattooing is not the same thing as it was. The stigmas are still there somewhat, but they're not the same. And I mean, the oldest person I had was born in 1937, came in and got her first tattoo.
Aww.
Like, you know, like there are, you know, things just being different and we have to be willing to change with it. And, it baffles my mind. Like, we all should be able to get along pretty easy because everybody is doing a sick job. This is an awesome job and career. Could any of us had really had these jobs and careers just 20 years ago?
Right. You're right. Yeah. That's really interesting how much has changed. I'm so glad. And what you just said reminds me of that song, Why Can't We All Just Get Along? Or Can't We All Just Get Along? Yeah, that's cool. And to be supportive of the different avenues that people take to get here, because obviously in a situation like what happened to you, some people end up giving up just because they can't find an apprenticeship because people keep rejecting them. And or they'll end up tattooing or teaching themselves, which I've heard from a couple of different people too. And that just makes it take longer. And it's kind of sad that they can't, you know, get the basics under their belt so that they can focus their time on learning everything else that takes so long to learn, you know. It's really interesting. But I did want to ask you just before we go, we have maybe a couple more minutes. You were a contestant on Ink Master, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and how was that situation? Experience
that was an interesting thing.
Do you want to talk about it?
Well, it's just it's not like a terrible thing or whatever, but you know, you forget, especially me, like I'm a Black girl, okay? I am a fat Black girl. And sometimes I like to forget about it because I get reminded of it in so many ways in so many things. So I go into things with this optimism of what I know I am from my point of view. And then I remember when I get there of what the world thinks I am. And what, you know, preconceived notions they've already put onto me and how I'm going to do with this or, you know, what I'm going to do with that. So it is a... what's the word? It is just TV. And when you do those kind of things, you don't really know what's going on behind the scenes. One thing that they're doing, like, it is TV. It is for entertainment. And so when I was on there, I already could feel hostility from certain people. And I already could kind of see where it was going. But I ignored the kind of obvious things that you think about after the fact when you see it. Yeah. Or at least how they proposed it on the screen, you know, like you're like, oh, you know what? I didn't even think about it. You know, I didn't think about it like that. You know, it is made for entertainment. It's made to a specific system. So, and it's nothing wrong with that because I watch reality TV. I be laughing. I be ha ha ha. I love this, that. It's funny. It's good. But we as people have to remember to separate entertainment from reality, even within the reality TV.
Absolutely. Yeah. That kind of goes for all of the tattoo shows, right? Because I've had so many people show up and they're like, I want this huge piece. And they expect it to take like an hour because that's what it looks like it took on TV. Well, sounds like you've had an interesting experience. And so do you feel like, How did you build your following? How did you, you know, start to build and build your clientele?
Just word of mouth.
Yeah.
And social media. Literally, like I had $3,000 to open my shop and I spent every penny of it just trying to open this little one room, you know, spot with upstairs on Jefferson Street. And nobody knew me. Like I hadn't been tattooed. Like I literally tattooed maybe 10 or 12 tattoos. And I just knew I wanted to do it. Like I was so into tattooing and what it was and how it was created and how people could come to me and give me money to let me do what I wanted to basically on them as a piece of art. And they get to walk around and show it off and tell them, you know, oh, this is mine. You'll never find my tattoo anywhere else because this is her piece of artwork. You know, it's like, to me, almost like my walking gallery of work. And so the experience I gave them was just, I'm cool, man. We're cool. We humans. We here to do this. I don't need no drama. I don't need no noise. let's make some art happen, you know?
Nice.
I always have good music to my playlist. Our number one, okay? Anybody who comes be like, your playlist is everything. So just saying that too. nobody uses their headphones when they get tattooed.
Good. Yeah, that's funny. Okay, well, let's just wrap it up with one last question. Is there anything that you would like to tell beginners and hopefuls wanting to get into this industry? Anything, any little bits of advice you'd like to give them?
Yes. So don't let them discourage you. I mean, the people at the place that I had started my little apprenticeship at, you know, told me that I need to find a new profession. And I was like, no, I want to do this. So if you sincerely look at yourself and you know you have talent and you know you have drive and passion and a willingness to actually learn and be open that to your own like flaws and what you can and cannot do and what you need to work on. Because like a big thing about a lot of tattooers is that they're not looking at their own work and they're not looking at what it could be, or they're just putting things off that are amazing, like saying that ain't real, that's Photoshop or whatever, instead of like, you know, trying to really grow what their stuff is looking like.
Yeah.
And they get this random big head and they want to like talk about people and stuff. So like doing all of that is such a waste of energy when you could just be creating and having fun and enjoying tattooing.
Yes.
And they're still not letting people discourage you from doing that just because what you're doing is not what they think you should do. And I mean, I'm still waiting on this magical rule book for all tattooers that supposedly exists. And
let's write it together, okay?
You know, and the rules for you know, others' designs and the rules for scratchers and listen, like all of this kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, scratchers are also a symptom of the issue, you know?
Exactly. You're right. You're
gatekeeping, and you won't even give somebody the opportunity to try, you know, they're going to go out and do it anyway, bro. Cause fuck you, you know? and also because maybe you should just try to get them to critique themselves into why they're not ready to do such a thing.
Right.
I always tell anybody, I have a rule that I will talk to anybody who, you know, hits me up about an apprenticeship. I'll just talk to them right quick, you know, be like, look, send me your artwork. This is the things you need to work on before you try to come back and tattoo. Because I don't have time to also teach you how to draw. You know, that's two different things.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, a lot of people just need to go back and just look at their artwork. And it doesn't have to be some classical Caravaggio, Leonardo masterpiece.
Right.
But you just need to show that you have the ability to create a good design and work well with color and line and just things like that, so that you can work in tattooing. I mean, it's just about, I mean, if we all, again, came together, we can literally keep quality up,
yes,
value up,
I
do
love
what
that.
We want.
Yes.
I mean, somebody always got to be an asshole.
Well, I'm glad it's not you. Oh, this has been such a great conversation. And I also wanted to say, you have a little contest you want to do for some of the listeners. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yes. So I have a goodie pack that I'll give to two
people.
Lucky
nice.
People. Woo-hoo. Some little swiggity swag from the self, myself. And all y'all have to do is go to my website, and I'm going to have a little link that says sign up for email list here. And you click there, sign up for the email list, and in the little box, you just write swag contest.
And bam, yes, that sounds great.
And I will hit you back if you win.
Awesome. Well, for the listeners, right next to Alishaba's headshot will be a link for all of her stuff, where you can follow her, where her website is and everything, and then you can enter her contest. Thank you so much for being here today. I really loved talking to you. And I feel like now I kind of want to come out and see you in Nashville. Yeah. I'll be one of those tourists.
Hey, it's okay. Just don't bring that there, you know, COVID with you.
Oh, what? Yeah. Okay, well, Hopefully that will pass soon and we will be able to visit each other again.
Yes, because I definitely want to come back out there. I mean, Oregon is, boy, it's hurting right now, though.
It
I hope
sure
y'all
is.
Stay safe out there and everybody.
Yo, dang, there's a lot of smoke.
Each other, y'all.
Well, thank you again. All right, we'll talk soon. We'll keep in touch.
All right, thank you. Bye.
To our listeners, your next interview will be delivered to your inbox. And don't forget, you have access for a full 7 days after each interview is released to listen. I look forward to joining you in our next session. Until then, be feisty, stay kind, and get creative.